Hello, this is the Crush Monocle Podcast, the show where we talk about stuff, all the stuff. I'm your host, Coop.
My name's John. I was late again.
Our guest this episode, we're part of the disbandment of a profile Montreal band, Ought, who had a string of beloved post-punk releases, making them one of the most interesting indie bands of the last decade or so. With this new project, they have expanded upon their experimentation while maintaining their casual wit and eccentric musicianship and songwriting. Here to talk about the sophomore album, The Gloss, which has already found its way on my favorite albums of the year list. ladies and gentlemen, this is Tim from Cola.
Woo, woo, woo!
Yeah!
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. And that was quite the intro. I appreciate the kind words.
We always have... every time I have it, I read the intro, I write it out. People's always like, ah, sounds like an obituary.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is being recorded, right? So just I'll tuck that away.
You know, yeah, there you go. Future Send use, that so. To your family.
How you doing tonight, Tim?
Oh, I'm doing well, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I should acknowledge for the listeners that my puppy is currently sitting at my feet. She's pretty chill, but you might hear some errant dog noises, and that's not coming from me or either of your beloved hosts.
Tim, you got to introduce the dog. Give us the background and everything.
Okay, yeah, this is Zuzu. This is her first interview. Yeah, she's very excited. She loves the limelight, so she's really going to thrive in this environment.
Perfect. Well, I also make dog noises, so it might not be Zuzu. It actually might be me.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying that just to cover us all. Like, there's not actually a dog here. Yeah.
I'll edit that in post.
There we go.
Well, we start out each episode with what we've been listening to recently. I'll have you to go first, John, so Tim can get the...
Why do I always have to go first? You go first.
Okay,
well,
I'll go.
You're late. You have to go first.
Oh, okay. I can go first really quick.
No, I always go first, so I'm just messing with him.
Okay. All right. John, what have you been listening to recently?
No, you got to go first. I told you.
Oh, okay. Well, I have an article at this publication, BeardedGentlemanMusic.com, where I actually talk about all the stuff I listen to. But I'll make it quick. My top three that I've listened to the most the past few weeks. Number one is a band called Horseburner.
There you go. Yeah.
The album is Voice of Storms. It's kind of progressive, but there's still a lot of melody in there. The whole thing just feels like a classic progressive album. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's very, like, Baroness-esque, right?
Yeah, a lot of shredding guitars and soaring vocals. It's just... it's awesome album. The songs are, like, 15 minutes long, they feel like, but they're amazing. Yep. The second thing I've been listening to is a band called Scuba Cop. the name of the album is Scuba Pop. They're, like, an industrial sort of thing, but there's a lot of melodic hooks. So it's like pop industrial. I don't know if that's a thing, but they do it very good. And then over there, the last thing I listen to the most is a band called Fascination's Grand Chorus. They're kind of like a throwback bubblegum pop sort of vibe. Very, very upbeat pop. A lot of hooks and sugariness. Think of The Carpenters being produced by Motown.
Nice, there you go. So that's cool.
Those are my top three. The rest of my stuff is in that article, the showcase. Check it out if you're on this publication.
Cool, nice. Tim, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Well, I just maybe briefly want to say I got a text from Evan saying that I think he got left off the email thread and he didn't get the link, so I just sent it to him.
Okay,
cool.
Hopefully he can join us.
Yeah.
But maybe while we're waiting for him to enter the chat, as it were, I guess I'll do my best.
Sure.
I mean, so I work at a record store and I definitely encounter a lot of stuff there, but it's like a used shop, so like not a ton of new releases, which it sounds like maybe you guys are digging into, which is cool. But I've been coming back to Astral Signal by Gene Harris. It's like a spiritual jazz record.
Yeah.
Really, oh, cool.
Out there. Awesome stuff. Evan.
Hello. Sorry. Hey. I didn't
I didn't have a link.
So sorry, man. Yeah, we yeah, you got left off the thread there.
It's okay.
If it makes you feel any better, I was 10 minutes late and I do this all the time and I constantly screw it up even with the link.
We were just doing like these guys were having each of us shout out three records that we've been listening to recently. So I'm actually curious, Ev, if you've heard my first pick, which was Astral Signal by Gene Harris.
Mm-mm.
Spiritual jazz record. Okay. Incredible stuff. And then I've also been coming back to this Brazilian psych rock band called Violeta de Otoño.
Okay. That sounds cool.
Self-titled record from 1987. I'm clearly like looking at my phone reading that for the folks at home. But yeah, really, really interesting, listenable Brazilian psych rock. Yes. And then the last one, I guess, is like a new-ish release. Evan will maybe be familiar with this too, because Devin Welsh, who just opened for us on the East Coast tour we just did, turned me on to this band Clowncore. You guys familiar with them?
Yeah.
I know Evan really likes this guy too, but I'm a big fan of Sam Gendel. Mm-hmm. He's like a saxophone player, and I guess he collabs with these guys a lot, and it's really out there, like weird, kind of like, I guess you could still call it jazz, but it's like sort of like deconstructed electronic music.
Ah, cool.
With like jazz intrusions, but it's definitely worth a listen, and their aesthetic is pretty fun, like two of the guys dressed like clowns.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn, John.
Okay, well, like in between my like five listens a week of Cola's new album The Gloss, which I actually really freaking love. It's like my album of the year.
Yeah.
Anyways, gonna stop. Who's the guest on this show?
Oh, I believe it would be Cola would be the guest.
I just found this band that was on tour with the band Facet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like a noise rock band out of Oakland or whatever. But they toured a few East Coast dates with this band called Lost Noobs.
Okay.
And they sound like a more kind of like heavy, like Helms A. Lee.
Oh, nice.
Which is super cool. Yeah, like their album's fucking awesome. It came out back in January, so this is like new for me, but whatever. There's a band I think out of Philadelphia, but I might be wrong, called Soft No, and they just dropped an EP that's really cool. Kind of shoegazy hard rock shit. And then Megafauna from the band And So I Watch You From Afar.
Okay.
Have you heard of those guys?
The name sounds a little familiar, but it could have been from you.
They're out of Ireland, I think. Hopefully I didn't fuck that up. But they're just like crazy, like happy, like instrumental music.
Okay.
But it's like metal heavy. So, yeah, they're cool. Plus that band name's kind of intense, right?
Yeah.
And So I Watch You From Afar. Those are my picks.
Evan.
Yeah. Something I've been listening to this week. Caterina Barbiera, Fantas Variations. I just got tickets to a show of hers, so I've kind of just been listening to her a bunch, just getting psyched.
Nice.
Been listening to a bunch of tapes from this amazing like little cassette label out of Atlanta called Familiar Face.
Okay.
And this tape, TYTY, No Grit, No Pearl. I've been rocking that a lot, and it's amazing.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
What would be another? A friend from Montreal, Lintre Bell. Been listening to her album, Oval, just like a bunch. I actually just dubbed a tape. Like, it never came out on tape, but I just dubbed a tape of it to listen on my deck at home, because I love the album so much.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations on The Gloss. It's just a killer record. I know I don't want to sound too gushy, you guys being the guests and all, but it's a very infectious record that once it's over, you feel like you kind of have to listen to it again. It's a very good loop.
Definitely a repeat album.
Yeah, it's a very good loop record. Being this is your sophomore album, how's it feel to have something out and, you know, from your heads and your hands, you know, out into the public out there where people's listening to it now starting to tell you about it, what they think about it? What kind of a feeling is that?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of what it's all about, I guess. It's, yeah, like, immensely rewarding. Like, we went on tour, like, pretty shortly after the record came out. So maybe that was, like, for me, the most immediate response that we got to see. Like, people coming out to those shows and, like, being familiar with the songs and getting that, like, feedback in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's... Yeah, I just feel really, really stoked on this project. I feel really blessed to get to play with Evan and Ben, like, just two musicians I really respect and love collaborating with. And yeah, I don't know. It's nice to have it out there.
So how is it compared to, like, when you drop Deep in View? Like, does this feel any different? You know, or was there, like, expectations or more pressure on you guys or anything like that?
I feel like as a second, I mean, maybe this happens a lot with second releases, but it's easy to be a little more in your head about it because there's something to compare it to.
Right.
Like, I was able to compare every moment of the process to the process of making Deep in View, and I'm like, well, did this aspect go better this time, or did it go better the last time? And it's kind of, yeah, it's easier for me to get a bit anxious about it.
So what was like the writing process compared to the previous album? Like, how did that change?
It was pretty similar. The first record, due to the constraints of the pandemic, we were writing over Google Drive a lot, which I had never done before, and honestly turned out to be, like, pretty productive. Like, we just had these Friday deadlines where everybody had to send something. We pretty much replicated that process this time around, with maybe the major difference being that we were, like, touring while we were writing, so we were playing some stuff out before we had demoed it or anything. And yeah, I guess with Deep in View, just because we had a lot more time, like, I guess, like, everybody, or like a lot of people, I shouldn't say like everybody, some people were very busy during the pandemic, but so we did more, like, demoing, and we wrote a lot more songs for that record. I'm trying to think. I mean, one of the major differences is, like, Evan was, like, he was writing more than just drums on this record. Like, he wrote a bunch of the instrumental beds, and, like, the lead guitar part on Nice Try, that really beautiful lead, that's Evan.
Nice.
So yeah, that feels like one of the bigger shifts for me, just, like, having his, like, more of his spice in the bolognese.
I cool. My favorite song on the record is Pulling Quotes, and that's probably the most, for me, it's probably the most melody focused, like, the more most melodic. There's still some of that, you know, signature wiriness, whatever, but was there a conscious decision to try to make a particular vibe with this record, or was it just more kind of like, hey, let's, you know, throw everything out there and see what sticks?
I guess we did talk about it, like, pretty, I don't want to say definitively, because that sounds like we weren't being creative or, like, open-minded about it, but we, you know, I guess before we started writing in earnest, we had a conversation about, like, how much we might want to explore new realms or tones or sounds or whatever, and we all felt like there was still a lot to be mined in the kind of sonic world that we had started to develop on the first record. So I mean, honestly, that was great. I think in a lot of ways, it, like, having, like, a defined palette gives you a lot of energy, it gives me a lot of energy creatively, because then I'm very prone to, like, rabbit holing on new possibilities, and it's kind of nice to just get down to, like, so far what this band has been about is, like, what the three of us can do with, like, bass guitar, drums, vocals. It's like, pretty minimal overdubs, just like band in a room kind of sound.
Leave Pandora's
Was Keys
box
Down like
closed.
Written? What's that?
Oh, just leave Pandora's box closed. You know, don't blow it right open with possibilities.
So was Keys Down like written way before everything? Because I know that the label like released it as a single like way before the album. So I was like, oh, they're close on something. And it took, you know, a while for the rest of the album to come out or whatever.
It wasn't necessarily written before. It was written before a bunch of stuff on the album, but the biggest thing was that it was recorded before anything else.
Yeah.
On the album. We did a couple days up front in the studio, like many months before we did the rest of the record.
Okay. Did you track any other songs on the album besides Keys during that session?
Yeah, we did a version of Albatross, but it was in like an earlier incarnation.
Okay.
I really wanted that. The one we recorded on that session with Keys Down, I was like, even like right down to the wire, I was like, it's got to be that version on the album. But
maybe we'll get a deluxe of the gloss.
Yeah, maybe.
The gloss, and we can get that version, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we could do Evan's version as a 7-inch.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, so you talked about, touring and, going on the sophomore thing. What did playing live in between these records, what did that bring to the sophomore release?
Well, I guess to me, the gloss, like even though the sonic, like the sound world of both records is similar, like they're done in the same studio with the same engineer. They were mixed by different people, but there's definitely a lot of overlap there. But despite that, the gloss like sound has more of a live sound and feel to my ears, like. That might be a matter of degrees, but I think that probably was a product of like us finding this confidence and like having played the songs in some cases a fair bit live by the time we went into the studio.
Yeah.
And maybe just like feeling comfortable really embracing the organicism of that in this record.
Cool.
Yeah, it definitely has a more lived in vibe. The records are similar, but like that's what I like to describe it as, like lived in. That's one of the standout things, I think, with this record. It's just, it's very similar to the first one, but there's just like there's a different, confidence to it, I should say. Your songs have a lot to say in them. They're very, there's a lot of social commentary or even if it's about something mundane. But what dictates in the creative process of how you're going to sit down and like write a song? Do you have like an idea of what type of song you're wanting to write, or you just kind of let it flow and...
I guess my answer to that would be, like a sense of like mutual excitement. Like when stuff goes into the Google Drive, like we'll all kind of like sit with it. And then I guess I feel like the songs that end up like growing legs are the ones that we just all like stay interested in.
Yeah.
And maybe there's an element of having a deadline. Like we've definitely had songs that like we've like beaten to death like working on that, like at some point, like even though they like have like lyrics and like everything's like pretty fleshed out, like it just will sort of all collectively agree that there's a better option, like we have other material that we're all feeling more excited about and we're kind of like flogging a dead horse.
When something comes together easily, I think we usually recognize that as like a strength.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's sense. Because the material is digestible. We like understand that there's a simplicity to it that is going to work. It's going to lend itself to the song or something.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, even with something like Pulling Quotes, like that kind of that door swings both ways there, where like Ben and Evan had written the instrumental bed when they were hanging out and they were like doing a writing session together, and they sent it to me and I was initially not hot on it and like avoided it for a long time, but then when I did, like they just like kept championing it.
They're like, Tim, come on, Tim, please.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. It was like that.
But yeah, I think when I did finally sit down to like try and think about what the vocals could be doing in that song, it really flowed. It didn't feel like I was pulling teeth, not to make a bad attempt at like an awkward adjacent pun to the song title.
That was actually the name of the song originally. Yeah. It was Pulling Teeth. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
One of my favorite things is like, I hope this isn't like, you know, like, I don't know, like labeling your music or anything like that, but like, I almost feel like you guys, like, you're playing a ton, but you feel like restrained. Is that fair at all? Like, you know, like the song has so much energy, but it's like you're almost just like pulling back to like meet each other or something. Am I just way off, or is that the first time you've ever heard that or anything like that?
I mean, just speaking for myself, I really relate to that. Like, just in that, I think writing with Cole, especially writing drum parts, there's like an aesthetic lens that everything needs to sort of go through where,
yeah,
like I could just on the drums just be going wild or something, playing all kinds of stuff, but there's like there's a very specific sound that needs to happen. So I have to kind of like take all that energy, but then funnel it into actually what feels more like a single point aesthetically of like, well, I know for this song and this band, like this, the drums need to go this way. So it's not
okay,
like,
I don't feel crazy then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely relate to that in a big way.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was referring to mostly, is just like the way the drums and the beat of the song kind of like, you know,
So. What's one of your biggest influence drum wise? Like, I feel like not a lot of people talk about influences when it comes to that particular instrument, you know, like what's your biggest influence? Like what makes you, where's it come from when you play a drums to a track? Is it just kind of you're feeling what the music is? Or you have like something in mind that like a certain style or genre or?
I mean, I could talk about this a lot. Like my biggest influences on the drums are things that I don't think you could necessarily hear in Cola. Like Clark. Yeah. Kenny Clark is one of my biggest influences. He's like an early bebop drummer. But yeah. I feel the connection and I understand the connection in my mind in terms of like one thing that for him stands out so much to me is just, it's like a flow thing. Like when I hear him play the drums and watch him play the drums, there's this incredible flow that I just know whenever I am coming up with a part, I want it to have potential to have that same kind of fluid kind of motion to it.
Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Tim, what about you? What are your influences, especially like lyrically or even guitar wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I read a lot of poetry and novels and stuff. I feel like that's like really vital if you're writing lyrics, to just be like taking in language all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't listen to like a ton of like post-punk bands. And it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like not out of like a lack of like appreciation or fascination. I guess, especially when I'm in like a creative mindset, there's something nice about kind of like pulling at these like fuzzy edges that are like someone's doing something that's a little bit different than what you're doing in this project.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, kind of like almost, to use like a bad metaphor, like using your kind of like peripheral vision or something and like bringing that in a little bit. And so I don't know. I mean, like I listen to a lot of like, you know, kind of like American primitive guitar stuff or like kind of like, you know, like UK folk, like Canterbury scene kind of like, or like I love Richard Thompson. Like he's one of my favorite electric guitar players. But I listen to a lot of like fingerstyle guitar and stuff, which is funny because that's not a part of what I do in this band at all. But Yeah, I don't know. There's something in like the kind of approach to melody and also like using alternative tunings, which has always been a part of how I've approached the guitar. I find inspiration in that. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, like as far as vocalists go, I feel like that's the hardest one to like point at, you know, okay, like but I mean, I would say Richard Thompson as well. Like the way he sings, like he has this kind of like earnest reediness that's also, and he's like very verbose at times, but it feels like he's
Nice.
just doing his thing. But it doesn't feel put on, I guess. It just feels like
Natural.
that's his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I definitely like feel that with the like guitar playing or the stuff you listen to, because sometimes like on Cola songs the guitar is almost just like this peripheral thing, you know, that kind of you know, swings in and out or like will take more attention and then just kind of hangs out in the background, you know.
Yeah, I think especially in this band, that makes sense to me. Like in Ought, I was really playing lead riffs a lot of the time while I was singing. And yeah, this band feels like more crystallized, and also kind of to the point we were, or the topic we were just discussing about, like keeping things really like tight and kind of restrained. Like there's so much heavy lifting happening in the bass. Like the bass is, Ben's bass playing is so melodic, and I often think of him as like the lead guitar on a lot of the
That
tracks.
makes sense, yeah.
And
It's
the
cool.
way that I play, I want to like make sure that there's room for that to really come through.
That totally makes sense. That's cool.
For drums, what do you like to follow? I mean, is that something that you need to you kind of lock in with that bass, or do you kind of try to are you trying to do like your own thing and they're locking into you? Like, how do you approach that?
Well, I'm definitely not trying to do a thing where, I mean, kind of classic in rock bands for the kick drum and the bass to be kind of playing all the same stuff all the time. Definitely not trying to do that.
For sure.
Kind of like always trying to find something complementary. And I'm not trying to drive the bus necessarily. Like I want everybody to be driving the bus and for everybody to be kind of grooving in their own way. So yeah, I think with the drums and bass in Cola, it's like just all about finding a complementary balance.
If only Ben was here, we could like sit and harass him constantly too about what his inspirations are and figure out.
He actually may have dodged the bullet on guessing this. Well, speaking of genre, the post-punk genre label, is that something you guys are comfortable with, or what kind of music would you, if you're speaking of genres, what kind of music is Cola?
Well, maybe in opposition to what I just said, I'm pretty comfortable with it because I think if it has a strength, it's like it's a genre that I mean, there's definitely like a certain amount of like attitude and a kind of like sonic like a set of like references that like it's in a lineage with. So like it, you know, like any genre is kind of feebly pointing at something there. I think it's pointing at the right things for us. But I think what I appreciate, or what I think I appreciate about it, is like this kind of like plasticity that's like inherent to the genre. Like I feel like a lot of canonical post-punk bands like prided themselves on pulling from really disparate influences and sounds, and you know, kind of having this like artiness to how they approached like something more, you know, kind of like felt and emotional, like just the raw like kind of attitude of punk, but then also like bringing in these disparate influences. Like that really suits me and like my outlook on how I would want to approach being in a rock band. And I mean, also, you know, definitely the legacy of like having like kind of like vocal presence. I feel like that's always, that's like a part of this band, is like if you want to tune into the lyrics, like they're there and they've been thought about. I mean, at least hopefully. But yeah, I mean, I think that I feel like I've like quoted I've like shared this Marquis Smith quote in like a couple interviews at this point, but it's like very appropriate to this question, which is, I think he called post-punk an almost manageable problem.
Nice. Yeah, that's perfect.
I really feel that. It's like, yeah, that really makes sense. It's like there's this unwieldiness to it, but also like it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, well,
so what do you... Go ahead, Coop.
No, I would say I agree with that because, like everyone keeps talking about how, like, rock is boring, you know, or it's dying or whatever. I don't understand how anyone could actually say that when post-punk exists. Like, this record, like, for example, The Gloss is a very guitar album, but it's not a guitar record. You know, like, you guys are making music that has all these instruments as traditional rock music, but it's anything but. You know, that's what I really dig about that genre label. That's what it means to me.
I mean, if anybody's saying rock's dead, you're, like, just not trying.
Yeah, that's my whole point. Like, you know,
Yeah, all you have to do is just, like, dig a little bit, and then it's like, boom, there's, like, a shitload of awesome bands, you know?
Yeah, the trope is dead.
That's what I think. The trope's dead.
The art is still there. So.
Yeah, for sure. This is a super dumb question, but I just wanted to maybe get, like, your opinion on it. So what I was kind of just, like, looking at, like, initial press when the album dropped, I kept, like, hearing a bunch of, like, oh, kind of Talking Heads-ish. And I was like, I've never thought they sounded like Talking Heads in my entire life until that comparison got made. And so I was just wondering, like, what your take is on that, to be, like, compared to, like, a band like that, you know?
I can hear it in some guitar tone stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
But definitely in terms of the rhythmic language, I don't feel like it really lines up.
Yeah, I found it to be a strange comparison, but I kept reading it, like, every time I was, like, you know, following up on, like, reviews or, you know, new albums of the week lists and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, my, like, mildly pessimistic hot take on this is that the canonical band du jour that gets brandished by the music press is 90% based on the haircut of the lead singer.
Yeah, there you go. Seriously.
So
there we go.
So does this mean that Cole is going to go out on the road with giant suits? You know.
No, I mean, but whatever. Good band. Good band.
Right. Yeah, maybe it just means Tim gets a mohawk.
Yeah.
Switch it up.
Do our Johnny Rotten record.
Yeah, there you go. You get compared to the Sex Pistols next. Yeah. You know.
That's
funny.
So, what are you guys up to next? Are you going back out on tour? What's next for Cola?
We currently started writing new stuff.
Already?
Just starting to gently turn the gears. It's early days.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, we're just starting to get things flowing a little bit.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to ask too much about that because this record just came out, but...
There's nothing to tell. Yeah, this is like early days. But we are getting back on the road. October, we're going to play shows on the West Coast, and then we'll be in Europe and the UK in November.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I was kind of harassing Tim about this earlier, but Cola hasn't been to Salt Lake City, Utah yet, and that's where I live, so
okay.
just, you know, if maybe.
Tossing it out there.
I'll be there if you guys book the show.
Yeah, we'll plant the seeds. We'll get out there. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. I need me a Cola show. And I bet, I mean, you guys are 10 times more popular. You won't have to play at Kilby, Tim. You could probably play someplace that's, like, warm inside.
Honestly, but maybe we need to go to Kilby. Maybe that's our rite of passage.
I would love it if you played Kilby, because then I could be like right there. You know what I mean? But just saying, sell more tickets than that.
Yeah, we'll definitely make it one of these days. We're gonna we'll get on the horn with our agent. Tell him.
Yeah, this random asshole we did a podcast with keeps giving a shit about.
He's not gonna release the podcast.
Yeah, hold it hostage. Yeah, totally. Right.
I want to say I really appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out with us tonight and talking about the record. I know you guys are, you know, real busy dudes, and in different places. So it means a lot that you took the time to hang with us.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. That's thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, honestly, like, I love both your guys' albums. You're like my favorite band right now. So really do appreciate the time. Like, means a lot.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Really, right back at you. That means a lot.
Cool.
Get out there and buy the gloss. I would say stream it, but you should buy it. And hopefully they're coming to your neck of the woods. If you're out there, if they are, go and see them. These guys are great. They get my vote, even though I'm a nobody. But I do like
good music. I bought the new album for my little brother on his birthday last month, and it was in the Coke bottle green variant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing.
It makes for a good birthday gift. There you go.
I promise myself not to make any cola jokes, you know, so.
No, you're good.
Yeah. You were doing really great. You came right up to
thanks,
the line.
Thanks
there.
Thanks a bunch, dude.
This is what I do, okay?
I really appreciate it.
But yes, thank you so much. This has been the Crush My Uncle podcast. I'm your host, Coop. It's my co-host, John.
I'm John. Hello, bye. Hello.
And this has been Cola.
Thanks so much, guys. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you in Salt Lake and Chicago in the near future.
Oh, whoop, whoop. Uh-huh.
Cool.
All right. Good night, folks. Like and share, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And we'll catch you on the next one.